The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to In Flight Running, the radio show with your host, Coach Michael Merlino. Get ready to run strong and go the distance with expert run coaching advice to take your running to new heights. Whether you are just getting started with the sport or ready to shoot for a new personal best at any distance, we have something to offer runners of all skill levels. On your mark, get set, go! Here is Coach Michael Merlino.
Hello, TGIF, and welcome to the new In-Flight Running Show, episode number 2. I'm your host, Coach Michael Merlino. I'm a Houston, Texas-based running coach and fitness trainer. Today's show is sponsored by our friends at Run in Texas. Run in Texas offers a full menu of over 20 fun off-road races across the great state, including the El Chupacabra del DFW nighttime 5K, 10K trail run coming up in Grapevine, Texas. That's in a couple weeks, guys, April 18th. Check out their full race calendar at runintexas.com. You can subscribe to the show by way of podcast now on iTunes for Apple users or the Stitcher app for those of you guys on Android. Search for In-Flight Running to find the show episodes. And while you're on iTunes or Stitcher, do me a favor and subscribe to the show's podcast. Write a review out there that really helps other runners out there that could really benefit from that show find the show and link that way. You can like our Facebook page by searching for In-Flight Running on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at In-Flight Running. We'll be taking listener questions today, guys, concerning the Houston Marathon. So you can call us on 866-472-5792. Best time to call is between 11:30 and 11:50 Central Time, or you can email your questions to me at info@inflightrunning.com. So let's get started on today's show. Mentioned on our first show last week, guys, I kind of shifted the show. It was called Fitness Momentum. We shifted it to In-Flight Running, which is now going to be a pure running show. And I mentioned that I want to have a lot of guests on here, pro athletes, everyday people that are doing great stuff with their running, sports docs, and race directors, which brings me to today's show. So to kick that mission off, I'm going to start a series of interviews with national race directors, and I'm going to start with my own hometown race, the Houston Marathon, today. So we'll be reviewing some Houston Marathon race history today, the highlights of past races, what I think makes Houston a great race value for you guys out there across the country and around the world that may want to come to Houston and race in our great town here. I think this is great today to have our hometown race, our big city race here in Houston, the race director for the Houston Marathon. So before I get into that and we bring on our guest, I want to give you a little bit of history on the Houston Marathon, just for you guys that may not know, and from some of you local guys here in Houston that may not know too much about the race. But Houston Marathon and Half Marathon is held every year annually here on Martin Luther King weekend, Sunday. It's the largest single-day sporting event in the city of Houston, which is the fourth largest city in the U.S. The first marathon was run on December 30th, 1972. At that time, there was more spectators than runners, actually. It was 113 runners, about 200 spectators that watched a multi-looped race, which, as you know, you runners out there, everyone hates a multi-looped race. But that's how it started. 1984, this is when things changed. There was a delegation from Houston that went to the New York City Marathon, observed what Fred LeBeau and those guys were doing there, and that's when they decided, and they got buy-in from the city, to shift to a citywide race. So like many large marathons, it existed as a pure marathon, and then in 2002, it added the half marathon distance, which really brought it to the next level. So the race field has grown to about 27,000 runners if you combine the marathon and the half marathon. That's expected for 2016, and its recent claim to fame was hosting the 2012 U.S. Men and Women's Olympic Marathon Trials, which I had a chance to watch here in Houston, which is a great weekend of racing. So being a Houston area coach, the Houston Marathon, guys, it's kind of my Super Bowl, man. I mean, I spend my day out on the course. I spend 6 months of the year coaching people up to that race and seeing them hit that finish line. So it's a really cool day here in Houston. So I'm excited today to welcome today's guest to the show, who's Brent Koch. Let me kind of go over some highlights of his career with the Houston Marathon. He's been instrumental in the growth of the race and has helped out, helped Houston kind of put our race on the national forefront, if not the international forefront, as far as marathons. So Brent is a Houston attorney and currently serves as the race director for the Chevron Houston Marathon and its related races, the Aramco Half Marathon. We also have a 5K race that weekend. He's the president of the board of directors for the Houston Marathon Committee, Inc. In those roles, he has also directed high-profile races, including the 2012 U.S. Men and Women's Olympic Trials, which I mentioned, and 14 USA Half Marathon Championships. A casual runner dating back to high school, he started competing well in his age group during his college years and ran the Houston Tenneco Marathon, his first one in 1986, and he ran that every year through 1992. And then in 92, Brent started volunteering for his hometown marathon, assisting the race course director. And then in 1995, he joined the race committee's board of directors. He became the course director in 1997 and both the president and race director in 2002. During his tenure, the Houston Marathon has grown from 2 to 11 full-time staff members, an annual budget from $1 million to $5.5 million, and a race weekend field, if you lump together all three races, that has gone from 10,000 to 33,000 expected in 2016. He is a 2011 recipient of the USATF's Men's Long Distance Running Committee's Alan Steinfeld Award. In 2013, he was inducted into the Texas Long Distance Running Hall of Fame. And in 2015, he was inducted into the Running USA's Hall of Champions. So after that marathon of a bio, I'd like to welcome Brent to the show. Brent, welcome to In-Flight Running.
Thank you, Michael. Good to be
Thanks
here.
Thanks for being on, man. And I want to stress that your position with the marathon has always been a volunteer position, which makes it even more amazing. So, you know, and you're probably one of the most important volunteers, I would imagine. So take me back circa, because, you know, we can talk here. We're both over 50. I won't divulge our true ages, but take me back to circa 1986. I know you had been actively, you know, running, racing in college a little bit, doing pretty well in your AG. So what made you decide to kind of step it up and run that first Tenneco Marathon back in 86?
Hey, you're not going to believe this, but it was an absolute lark. I had been running seriously for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. But I had not raced before that. I think I might have run one 5K and maybe one 10K.
Wow.
Before I'd done that. I'm serious. It was a lark. I was running with my girlfriend in a, I was kind of just pacing her through the Jingle Bell Fun Run in downtown Houston in December of 85. And at the post-race party, I saw that the Houston Marathon was going to its citywide course for the first time in 1986.
Oh, so 86 was the first year.
I can do that.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Okay. Little did I know.
So it was a girl, huh? It was a girl that got you started.
She's now been my wife for 28 years.
Oh, okay. That's a good story. Okay, good. Wow. And then, which is even more amazing because I know you just took the jump, and I mean, and you really jumped because you only took a few weeks to train for that. And back then, there was no Hal Higdon schedules online. There was no...
Nothing.
There wasn't many training programs to really get you ready for a marathon. Were there in Houston?
No, absolutely nothing. I was just walking in the dark. I was running. I knew I was running 40. I was running 40 miles a week at a very decent pace for a newbie. I mean, you know, we're talking 6.5 minutes or better per mile.
Wow.
And I thought, well, I can slow it down a little bit. And my goal from the get-go was 3 hours. And, well, I was on pace. Under pace. You get excited, as we all know.
Yeah.
And I was on pace through the halfway mark, and then the calves decided to start complaining.
Lesson learned, right? But you know that's always a tough lesson. Yeah.
Right. We all have to go through it.
So I know you ran at 86 to 92, and then you know what made you decide to come on board as what was then a race volunteer, but kind of get delving into the volunteerism side of the race and of the Houston Marathon. What made you kind of make that jump? Were you just like, I want to jump in here and help out?
Well, in the wake of running that first marathon, I mean, and I don't know why I ever decided to do it again, because it was not a good experience, but it was a challenge, and it really did turn me on to the racing scene. And I ran most of the good local races from 86 through 92, and enjoyed myself and performed reasonably well. I mean, like I said, I was a decent age grouper. I was never a winner, except in very small races. But I wanted to give back. And my wife and I, the main reason for ceasing to run marathons was my wife and I were starting our family, and I really honestly never enjoyed the distance as a runner, and I was much better at 10K distance, 5K, 10K, even up to about 20K.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wanted to get back. I wanted to join the organization. I knew it was a good one. And then, as I've often said, dummy never learned how to say no.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So let me ask you this. You know, and of course, I ran the marathon in 2001. Ran the half in 2005. I thought I'll just run the half really hard and then coach people on the course. Big mistake. And I haven't run it since, probably for the same reason you haven't, because you're so involved with the race. There's no way I can really race it anymore as long as I'm coaching, because I'm out there running around. I'm sure you're just busy all day with the walkie talkies going. But
it's a full day for me. I'm now wearing one of these ubiquitous fitness bands, and I say it's a rare race day when I don't hit 25,000 steps.
I can imagine. Wow. What was the, I know the race has grown from 10,000 to over 33,000 total runners on that weekend. That's the three major races, the 5K, the marathon, the half marathon. What do you think was the biggest reason the Houston Marathon has grown like it has? Not only known as a local running event, but more of a kind of making that national spotlight as a major marathon.
Well, I would attribute several things to that. Number one is the growth of the half marathon. In 2002, when we added that, I think the first year we had it, we had basically 2002 was our 10th. Was the year we hit and crested the 10,000 total runner mark with our 5K, half marathon, and marathon. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that first year we had 3,000 or so in the half marathon, 2,000 in the 5K, and 5,000 in the marathon. And the marathon's growth has always been very controlled, very measured. We've gone, you know, from a very very humble beginning in Memorial Park, you know, at 113 to 5,000 by the year 2002, and just stepped it up. I mean, today I don't think we've come anywhere really close to the 10,000 finishers. You know, we publicize that 27,000 figure. That is registrants for our marathon and our half marathon. And of course, as any race director will tell you, there is an attrition rate.
Hold that thought. I got to take a quick break. Just hold that thought. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll continue that conversation in a few. So, guys, we'll take a quick break. A quick reminder that if you'd like to join my free running newsletter, you can text InFlight to 22828 or go to inflightrunning.com and register there at the website. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Brent. Talk a little bit about some of the big race decisions he's made and how the race has grown further over the history of the race. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you been struggling to lose weight, get in shape, take your fitness to the next level, or train up for that next big event or race? Maybe it's time to hire a professional to help you build that momentum you need. Fitness trainer and running coach Michael Merlino can help you get back into the fitness game with results-driven programs focused on your health and athletic goals. Michael offers a wide array of services in the greater Houston area, including one-on-one and group strength training sessions and walking and running training programs to help you train for everything from a 5K to marathon level. He also offers metabolic testing, corporate wellness, lunch and learn sessions, and more. Live outside of the Houston area? No problem. Michael will soon be offering online fitness and run coaching services no matter where you live. For more information on Michael's programs and fitness services, check out both of his websites at merlinofitness.com and inflightrunning.com. You may also email Michael at info@merlinofitness.com or call him at 713-523-2577. Don't just race, run off the beaten path with Run in Texas. Run in Texas events take you on running adventures in great Texas destinations and reward you with good food, great beer, a post-race party, and t-shirts you're proud to wear. Run in Texas events happen all over the Lone Star State, from moonlit beaches to wooded trails, vineyards to microbreweries, and DFW to South Padre Island. Run in Texas has one goal, to create great running events in the coolest places in Texas. So don't just race, run in Texas. Check out our race calendar at runintexas.com.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
You are listening to In Flight Running with Coach Michael Merlino. We want to hear from you on today's show. Call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you're not near a phone or listening on demand, send us an email to info@inflightrunning.com. Now, back to In Flight Running.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Coach Michael Merlino, and you're listening to In Flight Running. We're back with Houston Marathon Race Director Brant Koch. So I wanted to go back. We were talking a little bit about the history of the race, how it's grown. But I wanted to kind of just review some, what I think are some major running events that kind of happen at the marathon level. You know, most of these go back to the early 2000s that, you know, really, I know, changed the way race directors managed races across the country. The one that I think of right off the bat, I ran Chicago in the early, I think I ran Chicago 2000, Brant, but 2007, they had that Chicago Marathon disaster, that severe heat, where they had to halt the race, which I know got a lot of you guys thinking about heat, because obviously we live in Houston, Texas, and we've been pretty blessed, but we've had some hot days ourselves. So could you kind of tell me a little bit about, you know, when that event happened, how you guys had to maybe retool things? I mean, I know Dr. John Cianca is on board with you guys, and he's a world expert in hydration or dehydration issues and things like that. But you kind of, you know, how did that affect how you guys managed the race when that news came out of Chicago?
Yeah, I was there, and I think the major lesson to be learned from Chicago was that...
Oh, so you were at the race. You were at that race.
I was there, and it was hot and humid. The humidity was just off the chart.
Wow, yeah.
And I think the major lesson to be learned there was that you have to be very cautious, and if as a race director, we always talk about pinch points out on the course. The big pinch point for a race like that is stressing and potentially overstressing the public health infrastructure. I'm talking about the local hospitals.
Oh, wow.
Every hospital, every ambulance, everything was in use as a result of the people running that day. And that is, I think, more than anything, what made them shut down the race early.
Yeah, I know, because they were literally carting people off that course. I mean, I heard that there was just ambulance after ambulance just taking people off
right.
the course.
Right. It was amazing. I walked out of the media center, and honestly, I got all the way back to Houston before I heard that they had shut it down. But I walked out of the media center about 3.5 hours in, which, interestingly enough, was exactly when they were shutting it down. And you could hear ambulances everywhere.
That's
everywhere.
What I heard. Yeah, and I know the year after that, I think it was the year after that, Dr. John, I call him Dr. John, man, because he was actually, Dr. Cianco was my first marathon coach, you know, so I still call him Dr. John, but I know you guys went to a color-coded flag system after that, like almost like a warning type system to let runners know, you know, what to expect as far as temperature and humidity on the course. I believe you guys went to that type of system the year after that, didn't you?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah.
And honestly, Chicago uses the same system as well. In fact, our committee teams with the Chicago Event Management Group that puts on the Bank of America Chicago Marathon. And yeah. It is a tremendous, tremendous partnership, if you will. They are so careful. They've had their issues over the years, and we've both learned from them, from the problems, and I think it's a great collaboration.
So let's shift forward to 2011. You guys make a decision that wasn't the most popular, and believe me, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but you know, Houston, because it got popular, you guys had to institute, you had to put in place a lottery system for registration. So I know that was like a big point in the race. Could you just kind of tell me, and that was a tough time for the race. I know it was trying to appease the locals, but at the same time, you guys were trying to grow it internationally and create some economic impact for the city of Houston. So could you briefly just kind of comment on that challenge? And I think we've all lived through that now. And then ironically, that lottery is going to go away this next year too. So,
yeah, that's right. We had in 2010, and beginning in about 2007, 2008, we had begun selling out our race. We had instituted a cap maybe a year or two before we ever hit it. But ultimately, we began selling out. And for the 2010 race, we sold out in, I think, 36 hours for the marathon and even less for the half marathon.
Wow.
And the thing was, there was so much initial buzz locally that what we ended up with was an almost entirely local registration group. Hmm. And for anybody that handles an event in a city and has to deal with its leadership, they know that what is important to the city is money. Tax dollars, heads in beds, if you will.
Yeah, hotel tax.
And when we have an entirely local race, the hotels don't make any money. And the leadership of the city does not like that. And we realized that the problem that we faced was that initial buzz is all local. All the locals sign up immediately. And whereas the national and international runners are much more, I don't want to say lackadaisical, but they don't rush to sign up.
Yeah.
And we thought that we just thought that the lottery would give everybody an opportunity to get into the mix.
Okay. I'm going to hit on that later because I want to talk about why we've kind of gone away from that now. This year we won't have the lottery.
Sure.
But the other thing that comes to mind, and this is in the news right now, so I want to bring this up, obviously the 2013 Boston Marathon tragedy, which ironically, once again, you and Dr. John Cianco, the medical director, were at that race when those bombs went off. And like I said, I don't want to dwell on this, but it is in the news. It did force, I mean, I as a running coach, I thought to myself, my God, what kind of mess is this now? Are these guys going to, you know, so there's all this uncertainty about things. And I know you guys had to get together with a lot of the other major races and figure out what to do. So could you explain how you guys got through that? And I know you had a little jump on this. You and I had a discussion on this because you guys had to take security to a crazy level because you hosted, once again, ironically, the year before the 2012 USA Olympic Trials here in Houston.
Exactly. I think going back to the beginning of Dr. John's tenure, which was either 98 or 99, I forget which, I think 99, he had been trying to secure the buy-in from all of the various public safety organizations in Houston and had been having very, very limited success. I mean, we're all volunteers at that point. And we really didn't have the time to just keep harassing those folks and getting them to buy in to our event. With the hiring of Wade Moorhead as our executive director in 2010, that changed. And Wade was really able to beat on everybody and call them again and again and again and get them involved. And that was in the run-up to the Olympic trials in 2012. So we had already formed a public safety committee in advance of that and begun the process. We had at least put in place a framework of an infrastructure for that. And in the wake of Boston, we were able to just ramp it up. It has added a pretty significant amount to our budget. The race looks very different today. Lots of fencing, lots more security, but we're making do, and we think we're trying to hit a balance between the spectator and runner experience and the aforesaid security. And I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, I haven't talked to Dr. John since Boston, but I know he was there when it happened. He was actually assisting with the wounded there at the race, so he was seeing it firsthand as it was happening.
Correct.
Which, that's just, you know, unbelievable that he had to even go through that. And he literally was one of the first responders for our, you know, work there observing the marathon on behalf of the Houston Marathon. He ends up jumping right into the fray and helping those folks out as all those injured came in. That's just crazy.
That's right.
Wow. One other quick question. We're going to go to another break here in a second, but obviously every race, especially in a big city like Houston, Houston's still one of the fastest growing cities in the nation. And with that challenge, with construction and all these cranes I see going up in downtown Houston, you've had to make some course changes. I know in 2014, big course change. You guys took that first 10K out of the heights. The Elysian Bridge, I know, which we started on both races, is going away because I believe they're going to demo that or rebuild it or get rid of it. The GRB, the George R. Brown Convention Center, which you house the start and finish, is being expanded. So could you just kind of talk about some of those challenges? And by the way, I love the new course. I'm getting a lot of great feedback from runners who love the new course. I know a lot of people didn't like the heights, historic heights going, but I think it's more of a good city course. It's easier to get on the course and see the course as a spectator, and man, it is flat as a pancake now almost, which is always good, right?
Right. Well, you know, I'm reminded of the comment that Rahm Emanuel, the Chicago mayor, has made in the past about never failing to exploit an opportunity and, you know, misfortune, I think, is his kind of his sense of that particular opportunity. And it is tough whenever we are faced with major changes because of construction, but it has allowed us to shift our course to streets that are wider, that can accommodate more runners, that are flatter, that hopefully have more asphalt than concrete. Yeah. One of the big drivers in our change last year was, as you said, was the loss of the Elysian Viaduct. And what that did, honestly, and I really hate losing the heights, but the railroad tracks that parallel Interstate 10, there are a limited number of crossings that are not at grade. And I, as a race director and as a course designer, absolutely refuse to go over at grade rail tracks, because you get at least one story a year of a race that was held up because of
San Antonio a few years ago. I had a few runners that got stuck behind a train in San Antonio.
Right. It happens to everybody. Uh-huh. And that is something I refuse to do. But we took that opportunity. We've got some new broader streets, Washington Avenue, Wall, West Gray, Kirby. I mean, the streets that we're using now are really iconic Houston streets. And we're very excited about it. I think we're going to talk about it a little later, but I think that half marathon course in particular is just blazingly fast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, let's hold it there. This is a good time for a break. For more information on the Houston Marathon and Half Marathon, guys, you want to check out their website, chevronhoustonmarathon.com. That's chevronhoustonmarathon.com. Register online. Regular registration, we're going to get into the details and all that, but regular registration begins online on June 3rd, and it's first come, first serve now, guys. No lottery. You got to get online and get your spot. So, also, we'll be taking live calls today later, so if you want to have a question for Brant, call us at 866-472-5792. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Houston Marathon. Talk a little bit about more as a racing fan, talk a little bit more about the elite runners and some other things. So we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Don't just race, run off the beaten path with Run in Texas. Run in Texas events take you on running adventures in great Texas destinations and reward you with good food, great beer, a post-race party, and t-shirts you're proud to wear. Run in Texas events happen all over the Lone Star State, from moonlit beaches to wooded trails, vineyards to microbreweries, and DFW to South Padre Island. Run in Texas has one goal, to create great running events in the coolest places in Texas. So don't just race, run in Texas. Check out our race calendar at runintexas.com.
Have you been struggling to lose weight, get in shape, take your fitness to the next level, or train up for that next big event or race? Maybe it's time to hire a professional to help you build that momentum you need. Fitness trainer and running coach Michael Merlino can help you get back into the fitness game with results-driven programs focused on your health and athletic goals. Michael offers a wide array of services in the greater Houston area, including one-on-one and group strength training sessions and walking and running training programs to help you train for everything from a 5K to marathon level. He also offers metabolic testing, corporate wellness, lunch and learn sessions, and more. Live outside of the Houston area? No problem. Michael will soon be offering online fitness and run coaching services no matter where you live. For more information on Michael's programs and fitness services, check out both of his websites at merlinofitness.com and inflightrunning.com. You may also email Michael at info@merlinofitness.com or call him at 713-523-2577.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
You are listening to In Flight Running with Coach Michael Merlino. We want to hear from you on today's show. Call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you're not near a phone or listening on demand, send us an email to info@inflightrunning.com. Now, back to In Flight Running.
Welcome back. You're listening to In Flight Running, and we're back with Houston Marathon race director Brant Koch, talking about the history of the Houston Marathon and some of the challenges along the way as you build a big city race. Brant, I want to continue our discussion on the marathon, and I can't even imagine the amount of work it takes to manage a race. I mean, I always say I got to pull off a long run for my runners every couple hundred marathoners here in Houston, and I always say it's like throwing a big party every week, and yours is like an annual gigantus party. But I mean, I can't imagine the logistics behind an event of that size and attempt. You know, and you, of course, you guys are always attempting to make everyone happy, knowing then that's not going to happen, knowing that runners are probably the pickiest people out there, and I know you've probably made tens of thousands of decisions along the way, but what are some of the big decisions you can think of in your race directing career that kind of stand out during your tenure as a race director for the Houston Marathon?
You know, honestly, the probably three of the biggest decisions I've ever made, I made right at the outset of my tenure as race director. In the summer of 2002, leading up to the 2003 race, I made really three big decisions, and I do need to say and really make it very clear, I don't make any decisions in a vacuum. I don't do it. I'm not the only one. We have a board of directors. Everything goes through them. We talk
through these
things.
Committee meetings, I'm sure.
But these were all my ideas. Uh-huh. The first one was bringing back prize money. For 2 years, 2000 and 2001, we did not have any prize money. It was a sponsor decision, frankly. They wanted it to be a more community-oriented event, and they honestly did not give us the money, the sponsorship dollars that we needed for an elite field. My first decision was to spend our own money and bring back prize money, bring back an elite team, and I felt like it really took away from the event to not have that. The second decision I made was extending the race from five and a half hour duration to 6 hours. We were watching the changing demographics of runners, and we just felt like that was a no-brainer. And then finally, and this was with
Dr.
John.
Coach, man, I want to thank you for that one, because I was one of the guys lobbying for that, because you know what happened with marathoning, as you guys know, a lot more everyday Joes and Janes were jumping into it, and
exactly
they had an intermediate. They could go 5K, 10K. Now they could go half marathon, and then they were kind of growing up through the family with you guys. They were doing the half marathon. And then they were like, what's next? And I was like, well, it's this thing called a marathon. It's 26.2. It's double what you just did. And so a lot of those newbie runners came into their own, but they needed that opportunity to kind of finish that race with pride. So I really want to thank you guys for that. To me, that was a huge turning point.
Right, right. And the demographics, as I say, made it a no-brainer.
Yeah, sure.
And then the third decision, and this one was a little bit controversial at the outset, maybe a little counterintuitive, but we actually reduced the number of water stations, fluid stations, on our course. We had our water station, fluid station infrastructure had really, pardon the pun, had become bloated. we had water stations every single mile, and then over the last 3 miles, I think, beginning at mile 23, we had water stations every half mile. And this was in the days of concern, which remain to this day, really, of hyponatremia. That's where runners effectively drink too much water and dilute the sodium in their bloodstreams, in their bodies. And that has major, major health implications. And we realized that people were drinking more water on our course than they were sweating out. And it was crazy. And we just decided to limit their opportunities for that. The opposite, obviously, is dehydration. But Dr. John says all the time that dehydration is nowhere near as serious a problem as hyponatremia.
Yeah, I bring him in to speak to my group once in a while. Didn't get a chance to get him in last year. He was really busy. But when you hear him describe what happens to someone that goes through hyponatremia, where their body literally shuts down, or starts that shutdown process, you'll realize exactly why you guys needed to do that. You know, because it's
our race was
once that
really
process
in the
starts,
forefront.
What was that?
I was going to say our race was really in the forefront of work on hyponatremia. We had identified our first cases of that in the late 90s, and it's still a problem. It's still a problem. We suggest to people that they weigh themselves before and after their daily runs and get a sense for how their fluid balance is changing, you know, by weighing yourself. I mean, really the only change is going to be water or and other fluids, and electrolyte drinks don't fix that problem. They're just not strong enough.
Looking at the, you know, we've had some pretty cool highlights of the Houston Marathon. I'm just going to give you a laundry list of some of my favorites, things that come to mind since I've been coaching, since I've been running the race. I remember hearing about this. I was a kid, but 81, of course, Bill Rogers of Marathon, U.S. marathoning fame, won the race in a 2:12:20. 1992, you guys got the first taste of the Olympics. I believe that the women's Olympic trials was held here in Houston. 2002, 2003, you kind of hit on this when you brought the prize money back. But prior to that, a local runner, Drew Prisoner, who actually saw him running on Buffalo Bio the other day and I thought of him. And then New Zealander Sean Wade won the men's race. He's a local runner. He has his own run coaching business here like I do here in Houston. He won it 2003 when you brought the prize money back. The big daddy of them all was 2007 when Ryan Hall broke an hour, ran at 59:43, which shattered the previous North American record of 1 hour 55 minutes. I think it stood since 1985, and I know that was the big one that really, like, put you guys in probably the international news. And then of course 2012, which was kind of the crown jewel, in my opinion, was the U.S. Olympic men and women's trials that you guys had here in Houston. It's just a perfect storm of running, and we had all the what I call the young gun Americans: Hall, Kifleski, Abdurrahman, you know, Ritzenhain, Davila, Goucher, Flanagan, all those guys. A fast course, spectator-friendly three loops. I mean, that was just a great weekend of racing. So, I mean, I know you'd probably agree with me on those things. Are there any other things that stick out that, you know, that you can think of that were just great or proud moments for you as a race director?
Yeah, and this was way before my time. I always think of 1984, which, again, another Olympic year. That year in our race, Charlie Spedding, an Englishman, beat Massimo Magnani, an Italian, by literally the thickness of his singlet.
It was a photo finish.
I want to say it was like a 2:13, roughly. Wow. But don't hold me to that. But it was an amazing finish. Spedding caught Magnani right at the line, and it's always stuck in my memory. But in the wake of Paul Turgot's win in New York a few years ago, where he won by like a foot or two, it's like, oh, we can do better than that. We had that 84 win. So that's the only other thing competition-wise that I really think of. And really, just if I may, very, very quickly, because I kind of got off on a rabbit trail a little while ago, you ask about what has really brought us to the forefront nationally and internationally. And that is the other thing. Besides the growth of the half marathon, it's been these tremendous performances. We really were on a plateau throughout the early, well, really through the 90s and all of the 90s and into the early 2000s with our race records. And then we just, in 2007, at the same time Ryan went 59:43 on our half marathon course, Dure Tune broke, an Ethiopian broke the women's record of Ingrid Christensen that had stood since 1985.
Yeah.
So that was a 22-year-old record. And then the 1989 record of Richard Kaitani of 2:10:04 was finally broken by Dariba Murga in 2009. And we had, beginning with each of those performances, the men's and the women's, we had like a four-year run of record races. And I think that, as much as the growth of the half marathon, really opened people's eyes to what we were doing down here.
Yeah. All right, let's hold it there. I want to talk a little bit about Meb, and I've got some questions for you regarding the 2016 race. So time to take a quick break, guys. If you want to connect with the Houston Marathon by way of social media, you can like their Facebook page at facebook.com/Houston Marathon, or you can follow them on Twitter at Houston Marathon. We come back, we'll wrap up our conversation with Brandt and talk a little bit about some questions I had for him and some questions I had from some local runners on about the race, give you a little bit of a preview for 2016. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you been struggling to lose weight, get in shape, take your fitness to the next level, or train up for that next big event or race? Maybe it's time to hire a professional to help you build that momentum you need. Fitness trainer and running coach Michael Merlino can help you get back into the fitness game with results-driven programs focused on your health and athletic goals. Michael offers a wide array of services in the greater Houston area, including one-on-one and group strength training sessions and walking and running training programs to help you train for everything from a 5K to marathon level. He also offers metabolic testing, corporate wellness, lunch and learn sessions, and more. Live outside of the Houston area? No problem. Michael will soon be offering online fitness and run coaching services no matter where you live. For more information on Michael's programs and fitness services, check out both of his websites at merlinofitness.com and inflightrunning.com. You may also email Michael at info@merlinofitness.com or call him at 713-523-2577.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
Don't just race, run off the beaten path with Run in Texas. Run in Texas events take you on running adventures in great Texas destinations and reward you with good food, great beer, a post-race party, and t-shirts you're proud to wear. Run in Texas events happen all over the Lone Star State, from moonlit beaches to wooded trails, vineyards to microbreweries, and DFW to South Padre Island. Run in Texas has one goal, to create great running events in the coolest places in Texas. So don't just race, run in Texas. Check out our race calendar at runintexas.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to In Flight Running with Coach Michael Merlino. We want to hear from you on today's show. Call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you're not near a phone or listening on demand, send us an email to info@inflightrunning.com. Now, back to In Flight Running.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Coach Michael Merlino, and you're listening to In Flight Running. And we're back with our special guest today, Houston Marathon Race Director Brent Koch. Brent, we are talking about athletes. So I want to real quickly hit on Meb, because Meb has become a one almost like Madonna or Prince now. Everyone knows who Meb is. So real quick, you know, you and I had a discussion about this the other day, and I looked up some numbers, because I've heard through the grapevine that Meb just loves Houston. I know you guys have that relationship with Skechers now as a sponsor, and obviously he endorses Skechers. But 2009, Aramco Half Marathon, he wins it here in Houston, 101.25, goes on to win the New York City Marathon that same year. A few months later, 209.15, he wins the 2012 USA Men's Trials here with a 209.08, becoming the oldest American to do so at the age of 36. Then, 2014, he wins the half here, 101.23, almost identical time as 2009, goes on to win the 2014 Boston Marathon with a time of 208.37. So I guess it's safe to say that Houston is Meb's lucky charm, huh?
Right. We, you know, as you pointed out, we have a great relationship with Meb and his brother Howie, who is his agent. Howie's an attorney, graduate of UCLA Law School. They, and I heartily commend, and I hate to make a sales pitch here, but Meb has a book out, Run to Win, that tells the family's story. Large Ethiopian family, actually Eritrean family, involved in the war there in Eritrea, the civil war with Ethiopia. And just an amazing story of how the father got all of the family out, got them all to Italy, then got them over to the United States. I cannot speak highly enough of all of them. All the kids now are professionals in one discipline or another, lawyers, doctors, and so forth.
That's cool.
So we have a great relationship. And then, yes, he has just happened to really nail some of his best performances at our event, as has some of the Ethiopians. We've had three of our marathon winners, Ethiopian marathon winners, who've gone on to win Boston, Urteso, Tune, and Berga.
Okay, great. Yeah, I just noticed that connection there. I mean, you brought it up the other day, and I looked up the numbers like, man, this has been the lucky charm for that guy. So let me ask you, we
are kind of a pipeline to the majors, it seems.
Yeah, with that flat course, I'm sure helps, you know. Real quick, some questions regarding the race. First off, the lottery, and I'm going to roll through these pretty quick because we're pretty short on time, but the lottery, you guys decided to drop that this year. Any reasoning behind that? I mean, I think some are applauding it, yet others kind of got used to the whole thing. So what's your thoughts? What were the thoughts behind just dropping the lottery this year?
Right. Well, it really came in the wake of our success with the new course. As I mentioned earlier, one of the things we were looking for was finding wider streets, being able to support more runners. And this year, we are very carefully, as we always do, adding 2,000 registrants to the marathon and the half, going from 25,000 to 27,000. Yeah. And we had never had a really huge number of lottery entrants that did not get in. So we just felt like there was really no need for it. We felt like the buzz was such that, and we think we've gained enough of a national and international following that we don't need the lottery anymore. And we will find out very soon.
Yeah, that's true. In June, right? I know the one question I'm getting from a lot of runners is and I'll just kind of hit this one quick, and corral system. There's a lot of folks that were kind of picking my brain. You kind of saw this, and I want to thank you for your little Facebook openness, you know, you're requesting ideas from people and getting feedback from people literally the day after the race. So I want to thank you for that. But the big question was corral system with the race growing and it getting a little bit congested downtown. Is there any type of movement? Are you guys looking at possibly doing more of an open corral system where you would line people up by 30-second intervals, 1-minute intervals based on predicted marathon finish time, or possibly staggering the marathon and the half marathon? A start.
Well, as to the stagger thing, the big problem there is any sort of a stagger adds time out on the course, and we're already we have a 6-hour limit, but it takes about half an hour to clear our start line, which adds that time onto the end there as well, and there is a cost factor involved here with Houston Police Department and just shutting everything down, traffic, you know, the availability of the streets for extended periods of time, dealing with traffic in Houston, which has really become a bit of a congestion issue in and of itself. But, we are always looking at ways to improve our start line procedures. Yeah. One of the big things that we have done is gone to a system where we neck down the start. We neck down the corridor, the start corridor, about 20 meters behind the start line.
Yeah.
down to a space of only 14 feet. And the runners are basically, it's a pinch point, and it's a purposeful pinch point, because then once the runners are through it, and they are metered through it, obviously, because of its width, they are allowed, they then spread right back out to the full width of the street and can run freely from the starting line. And that's been our favorite means of metering people out on the course and trying to limit congestion.
Great. And all right. Listen, I'm going to have to leave it there.
But we are always looking at other solutions as well.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you, man, for being on the show today. I enjoyed it. I'd love to have you back as we get closer to race time. Once we get to registration, I could pick your brain on a lot of other running-related issues, too, I'm sure. You've been in Houston for many years. So I'll let you go today, my friend. So thanks again for being on the In-Flight Running Show today.
Fantastic. Thank you for having me. It was really fun.
All right. Take care. We'll see you soon. That's Brent Koch, guys, the Houston Marathon Director. That was pretty fun today, getting kind of an inside scoop on our local race here in Houston. Let me give you some dates real quick. Houston Marathon, pre-registration. This is for deferrals, legacy runners, 5 to 9 year finishers, time qualifiers. That's May 6th through the 31st. And then on June 3rd, through sellout, that's first come, first serve. Now, no lottery. You got to get online and register for the race during June until that race sells out. It's at 20. I believe they've increased the field 1,000 spots for both the marathon and the half marathon this year. So if you live outside the Houston area, we welcome you to come to Houston and race our race. Great food here in Houston, for sure. A lot of places to celebrate after you finish your race. So that's pretty much it for today, guys. Just a reminder, you can, if you have questions about today's show, you can email me at info@inflightrunning.com. And that should do it for today. So hope to see you. I hope you guys have a great weekend. I'll be in Brenham, Texas tomorrow for the Bluebell Ice Cream Run. That sounds fun. Ice cream at the finish line. Hope you guys have a great weekend and run strong.
Thanks for tuning in to In Flight Running with your host, Coach Michael Merlino. Be sure to check us out again next Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great weekend and run strong.